fight for entertainment wherever there's boredom. Josh and John are there. Pop Culture Problems is there. A real pop culture hero. Pop Culture Problems is there. That was terrible.
I don't know what happened just now.
I tried to sing the G.I. Joe theme song and throw in Pop Culture Problems.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to John Oderman Saves the World. That was awful. It was awfully good.
Thank you.
I don't know how we might not top that.
We should just put that on a loop for 30 minutes.
I might splice this as the opening music instead. I might underscore. We'll see. I might underscore with regular music. If I did, ladies and gentlemen, ignore this commentary about me describing how I might and just have enjoyed it. If I don't, think about what could have been. But today, we're talking about cartoons, animated series,
yes.
things in the days of old that were drawn and or animated in some fashion, and how they compare to today. And
things that forged us into the men that we are today.
No.
That's deep.
Yeah, Sarah would beg to differ that she would consider me a man.
As would my wife.
Yeah, you know, and what does that say about them? I mean, is that pedophilic?
Wow, yeah, that's a good, great question.
Like, you're acting like a 5-year-old. I'm like, well, that was inappropriate. I don't know, the last 10 years, if that's true.
Last 10 years is very inappropriate.
Very inappropriate.
If I'm a 5-year-old.
I mean, just get over it. Enough about pedophilia. Let's talk about
and my
cartoons.
Terrible singing.
John, it might be the new theme song. And little did you know, I recorded a blooper too, so we'll see how it sounds at the end. cartoons, animated series. Was there, John, an animated series that you think, I mean, did G.I. Joe, did that shape you? Did that...
That was a huge part of my childhood, the cartoon. But I was a huge G.I. Joe, like, action figure geek, too.
Okay.
But G.I. Joe is one of the things that really kind of shaped, like, my pop culture knowledge in a lot of ways.
Okay.
It got me that coupled with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles really, like, helped me, like, Turtles would never have ever started reading comic books without them. Then I kind of got into the G.I. Joe comic books a little bit with the help of my twin brother, and that kind of spawned the whole love of comic books, pop culture, all that stuff. Would never have gotten there without G.I. Joe and the Turtles.
See, this raises a big question, Mary, because you had a very entertaining opening. You're saying a lot of things that make a lot of sense right now. Are you your twin? Are you really John?
You've got me, Josh.
I was going to say, you rip off your mask. And you're your identical twin.
Yes.
Right? It's like,
yes.
Ah, I look the same. I would say Teenage Ninja Turtles shaped me more.
Yeah.
Physically, just because Michelangelo loving pizza. And all of a sudden, I had to have pizza, and now I'm obese. So I think it literally shaped me.
I would probably be better off had I followed the intense training regimen of the G.I. Joe characters.
Yeah, sure.
Well, had I even followed the training regimen of the... Turtles, I might be in better shape. However, I just kind of went towards the meal planning strategy of the Turtles, as opposed to the staying in shape and fighting crime.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Going outside, exercising, putting your life on the line, or eating pizza, hang out in April O'Neil's bad.
Cowabunga,
I mean,
dude.
Cowabunga. Hey, that's all you need. April O'Neil was far more desirable and attractive than she should have been in that outfit, that yellow jumpsuit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and here's the thing. I've got some younger nephews now that have been watching the original Turtles cartoon. And, yeah, April was a babe.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. But I don't know that she should have been, because that was a terrible...
It was a terrible outfit.
Yeah, it was a terrible outfit. I mean, it just was not good.
However, if you did show up someplace like a Comic-Con or something, and there was a good looking chick dressed as April O'Neil, for guys our age, that would be like the hottest chick there. Just because she's dressed like April O'Neil.
Radio silence. I just want to see how awkward it would be. John, I think that there is a kind of a war, a battle with new versus old. New cartoons versus old cartoons. I mean, is it something that the new cartoons are worse or that they're better? Or is it just that it's not our generation or style, or have our minds shifted? Like, are we not susceptible to intake animated series and digest them?
We have too much in our brains and we refuse to. I don't know. I mean, I've watched several of the new, like, popular cartoons because of my nephews. And I think that there isn't the long-term character development as there was like 5-10 years ago. Even like SpongeBob had like long-term character development to a certain extent. Like there was a certain degree of continuity to that show. Like Paw Patrol, Blazing the Monster Machines. I just don't see that kind of like character development on those shows that were even like the Smurfs when we were kids. There was like an underlying, like, kind of those characters changed and grew. And I think the Smurfs is probably a better comparison to like Paw Patrol and stuff than say like the G.I. Joes and things like that. But just from an age standpoint and what you're aiming for. But I don't know, maybe I'm just not watching as much of the new stuff as I should be able to speak intelligently on this. But as I want to do, I'm going to speak as unintelligently as I possibly can about it and make broad generalizations cartoons now just aren't as deep as they were.
I just think that you are not remembering cartoons the way... This is that nostalgia blindness we've talked about before. So, for instance, I'm going to use a beloved cartoon that I loved. And I just need you to hear me out here. I'm going to give you the cartoon and then just one example of an episode. I loved Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah,
I thought
it was
stinking hilarious. I thought it was great. I don't think that there's a lot of depth when the primary focus of an episode is liposuctioning the fat out of a cat's butt in order to give a chihuahua pectoral muscles, and then having that love and hate relationship as they break up, even though they're not a couple, but break up as friends, only to have the final scene of the episode with the cat wearing an old woman's swimsuit on the beach watching the chihuahua with new pectoral muscles going off into the distance with a couple of bimbos. What the heck is... I thought it was hilarious and funny and stupid, but I wouldn't say it had depth.
Well, but what I'm talking about is like well-rounded, well-developed characters. And you had that with the Turtles. You had that with, like, You absolutely did. Each of the Turtles had, like, their own distinct, like, personalities and stuff like that.
A one-dimensional personality.
Lies.
One of them was wild and hungry. The other one was curmudgeonly.
One of them was a party dude.
Yeah,
one of them was cool but
smart.
Rude.
Yeah. The hate. There wasn't a lot of... in-depth
about Donatello does machines.
Have you watched
Leonardo is the leader?
Have you watched
I'm gonna keep cutting you off.
My Little Pony.
I haven't watched the new stuff, but you know what? There are a good group of guys called, well, not necessarily guys, but bronies who watch that show religiously, and they say that the new one's awesome.
Yeah, and they say that it's good, but my question is that's a new show. And they're finding depth in it. It probably has no more depth than the Ninja Turtles, but it's something that resonates with them. And I just think that to say that like the new stuff doesn't resonate with me, so it's not good, doesn't mean it's not good. It just means it doesn't resonate with you personally.
Established, developed characters from our formative years.
What?
The My Little Pony characters.
Yeah, okay.
They're around back in the 80s when we came of age, and... You know, they've been brought back. I don't know if, like, these current animated series characters have the staying power that, like, I don't think our grandkids are going to be watching Paw Patrol. I think our grandkids might still be watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
The new versions.
But
nobody's, I don't think our grand kids are going to be watching Cat and Dog.
I don't
think they're going to be watching G.I. Joe because no. I don't think that's, it's a different style. It's a different.
Well, mine will be. Because I will force them to.
It's going
to
be a Clockwork Orange.
Yes.
Going to tape their eyelids open and make them watch it. I just don't see any problem with letting a new generation watch them. Because I recall when I was watching cartoons, Ren and Stimpy, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, things like that. My mom was like, what is this junk? I mean, this isn't Tom and Jerry. This isn't Betty Boop. This isn't Betty Boop. And so and let's look at those. The Looney Tunes. Betty Boop, Tom and Jerry, those were stupid. They're stupid, dumb cartoons.
They are not. Looney Tunes are not dumb. Depth.
Yeah, they have very little. But no, and I like them, but I'm also an old soul. I grew up watching Nick at Night, and I can look in the I can put myself back in the time frame of when things were released and take value and merit in them. I don't think we have a generation that really does that to as good of an extent.
Well, but I mean, do you think that there'll be cartoons that like stand the test of time, like? You know, Looney Tunes has been around forever, kind of not really, I think Cartoon Network tried to, like, relaunch it a couple years ago, but Scooby-Doo is still something that's...
But it's different. It's not the same. It's not...
But the concept is still the same. Like, the core of those characters is still the same. Scooby and Shaggy still eat a lot of food. Thelma and Daphne are still competent investigators. Fred's still like the tough guy.
But you're talking about characters, not entire animated series. Willy Wonka is a character that it was great in the book. It was great in the Gene Wilder classic. I thought it was good in the new Johnny Depp version. It could be made 10 more times and it would be good. Just because a character is repeated or stands the test of time doesn't mean that they're the same thing. How many times been redone?
Well, but that's and what I'm saying,
good
though.
And bad versions. But
yeah.
The bad versions, in your opinion, may be beloved by a lot of other people.
Those people are wrong.
Well, John, I'm glad.
Scooby-Doo, the successful iterations of Scooby-Doo have been the ones that have kind of... kept true to the core of those characters, as well as like adapted to the new modern times.
I think some of the most successful Scooby-Doo cartoons were like, "Hello, Zoink Scoob! Hey, look, it's the Mama Cass."
I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for these stinking kids.
I know, but like the best versions were the special.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Look, it's Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin.
There's a great Scooby-Doo with the WWE characters from like the last couple of years. It's
that
awesome.
Wouldn't play well to kids today. I just don't think it would.
Came out a couple years ago. It was awesome. It was huge. It's like one of the biggest Scooby-Doo episodes, or I think it's actually a movie. But yeah.
Hashtag eat it.
Anyway.
Yes.
Animated series.
Yeah. So we're talking
about. What were your big ones growing up?
I told you, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's
Ren
it.
Stimpy,
that
Smurfs.
Is it. I
like
love Smurfs.
Kind of
I love
DuckTales.
Smurfs. DuckTales. Woohoo.
Gummy Bears.
Great show.
Care
Bears was one that I watched a little bit. Maybe you're familiar with this one. Maybe you're not. Teddy Ruxpin.
I had a Teddy Ruxpin. I don't remember the cartoon.
I loved that
much.
Cartoon.
I don't remember the cartoon as much. Do you remember the cartoon David the Gnome?
Yeah. Yes, with Swift the Fox. Absolutely.
I don't think that was...
That was one of the first Nicktoons.
I don't think that was a very good show. I think it was good in the sense... Like, I mean good as in what I loved about cartoons. Like, it was too wholesome. It wasn't as, like, cutting edge. It was like, hi... I'm the dad from the Happy Days, and I have a fox, and I'm going to tell you a wholesome story with a message. Versus, like, you know, Ren and Stimpy was fart jokes.
What's wrong with that, Josh?
No, I'm just saying it wasn't as cutting edge. I would flip. I think it was on like TLC or some kind of a channel.
David the Gnome?
Yeah.
No, it was on Nickelodeon.
But I think it was also on like another
network. Like the Learning Channel. Okay.
Yeah, something like that. I don't think it was a Nickelodeon original. I think it was original on the other and they maybe syndicated it. But I would flip between it when there was something on I didn't like. Like, it was like, oh, well, this is a junk show. I guess I'll watch David the Gnome.
David the Gnome.
And it was good enough, but it just wasn't good. I wouldn't have watched that first. If that was on versus Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, by David, stupid gnome. Get out of here.
Well, but that's another thing that, like, I think is lost on today's kids and adds to the, like, the disposable nature of today's cartoons is back then, like, if you missed an episode, you might never see it again. So, and it was on at a certain time. And, like, Saturday mornings, if you wanted to see, like, the next in the series of, like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Adventures and maybe not be lost the week after that if you sat down to watch it, you had to get up early, get your cereal, sit in front of the TV on Saturdays.
What a tough life. Like, this, you painted the Great Depression of the Olderman years. I had to get up and get my cereal and sit in my comfy chair in my air-conditioned home.
Wasn't air-conditioned. Wasn't air-conditioned.
Oh, it was. Was it heated?
Yeah.
Okay. In the winter, I would sit in my heated home, eating my cereal in my comfy chair, and boy, was it rough. You know.
No, but I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, the kids these days, they don't have to worry about that.
That's true. That is a true type statement. But I don't think kids need to watch that kind of format. I don't think they're going to be sad if they miss an episode of a certain show. I think they're going to be fine. They'll YouTube something else. I don't think we're in a generation where they need to be completionists.
See, but that's what I mean, though, is like we don't have that. Like the audience isn't demanding the same that we demanded when we were kids. So the cartoons, I don't feel like are as good and as solid as they were when we were kids. And you know, the thing is, though, too, cartoons, like you look back at it when we were growing up, I seem to recall there being way more episodes than there actually were when you actually look back and how long. Like G.I. Joe was on for like 3 seasons. There were like 30, 40 episodes per season, but like I recall that show being on for like years.
Yeah.
And it really wasn't on that for that long.
But like those shows, if you missed an episode of G.I. Joe, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Smurfs, Gummy Bears, DuckTales, you could watch 2 episodes later and you'd be fine.
Oh, true, but you know, I mean, but there were times where like they had some characters that were like recurring characters that.
But you wouldn't be missing a lot.
No.
And I think it's the same thing today. Like you wouldn't be missing a lot. I don't think there's much of a difference.
And maybe I'm looking at it from an adult concept of reality and
that's
how
not possible.
I want to know who this character is.
Your
when
brain
I'm jumping
has not
in.
Matured to that level. I can guarantee it.
I do think binge watching has really ruined. Like jumping into the middle of a show.
Yeah.
Because how many times, like when you were a kid, did you just pick something up and read it or pick something up and like turn on the TV and watch it?
Reading. Oh, that's cute.
And like it's in the middle of the story and you just didn't care because it was cool and you liked it.
Yeah.
And then after you tried to fill in the gaps after that, like you watched a rerun or something like that. And now like there's kind of this attitude that if I can't start from the beginning, it's not worth watching. Well, that's not how we used to do things.
Well, I think that there's
that's not how kids do it. Like, I mean, that's not how kids do it. Like my nephew set him down and he didn't start watching Paw Patrol from the very first episode. He just happened to watch it and like it and think it was cool. And
there's moving colors. They're kids. They just want some swirling colors. And that's what we had as kids. We just had different swirling colors.
And
good
depth of character. I loved the nuance of Michelangelo.
And
the Flint Duke Lady J love triangle. How could you not be invested in that?
Who are Flint
on G.I. Joe?
Oh, I didn't watch that. I had good taste.
And who's the Baroness going to end up with? Is she going to be with Cobra Commander or Destro? There were like some interpersonal relationships on G.I. Joe that if you, even as a kid, I was able to pick up on them.
I just, this is my own fault. I mean, I invited you over. So, I mean, it's my own fault for putting myself into this situation.
And you kind of like, I mean, watching the Turtles. Did you ever kind of root for like, hey, you know, if things work out with April and one of the Turtles, I want it to be with Michelangelo.
I did not. What about Raphael? Well,
you don't look at it that way. Come on.
What?
Ridiculous. Yeah. You didn't look at it that way as a kid.
Yeah, I was a boy. Of course I did. Boys are born with one thing on their minds.
A species?
A what?
You didn't know that they were different species. You didn't care.
One's a turtle.
You just knew that one was a boy and one was a girl.
Yeah, no. Here's the thing. They weren't wearing clothes. He didn't have any parts.
That's true.
Anatomically, anatomically.
Well, he had a shell. Yeah. His shell was his clothes and his belt.
I mean, I'm saying, as far as I knew as a little kid,
his belt was his only piece of clothing.
He did not have a dangling participle, so he was not a boy, all right. For all I knew. Yeah, and he was a different species, so it didn't work out. No, I did not want them to get together.
Well, I'm not saying you wanted to get them together, but if you're rooting for somebody, you definitely rooted for, like, one of the Turtles.
I mean, Shredder was human.
That's true, but you didn't want April to end up with Shredder.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I could see.
You wanted, you know what though? Maybe that's why they introduced Casey Jones. Because to just get that then you wanted Casey and April to end up together. You don't have to worry about this interspecies confusion.
Yeah, I don't know. The dumb jock who kind of, you know, is freeloading versus the
accomplished martial artist an international organization.
Accomplished martial artist, international organization, also trying to defend the world from mutant turtles that are living in our city sewer system. I think that's a noble effort.
You just put Shredder in a totally different context for me.
I mean, I think it's worth reconsidering his villainy. I would be... Here's the thing. If giant turtles and a rat were always trying to kill me...
That could talk.
I'd be a little pissed off, too.
Yeah.
I might fight back. It's called self-defense. And here's the thing.
And that's why he wore that armor.
Talk about economy. He employed half the city. He provided them with clean uniforms, including head masks so that they wouldn't get respiratory issues. I mean, they were breathing through these nice masks.
They were in the sewers and they're underground, so it was important for them to be protected.
Do you just want them to have exposed mouths and huff in feces?
Yeah.
No, absolutely not.
Shredder's a hero.
His Shredder's best friend, a really smart guy, Krang. I mean, he's all brain. I mean, he's just...
Wow.
I mean... I'm just saying. Yeah. You have to. It's how you look at it. It's how you look at it. So
you know, you said that you watched Smurfs growing up.
Yeah.
Like, what was the thing about Smurfs that you liked the most?
Okay, I'm gonna say one thing I liked the most and one thing that perplexed me the most.
Uh-huh.
Number one, I loved Gargamel. Loved the villain.
Okay.
I mean, I think Gargamel and April O'Neil would be good together. I mean, he's a guy that appreciates nature. He lives simplistically. He's not about materialistic stuff. He has a cat. He can take care of an animal.
Except Smurfs and gold.
Yeah. Oh, she didn't care about gold as much as he did about these vermin that were disrupting the ecosystem of his natural habitat that he had come to love and enjoy. However, comma, the one thing that perplexed me. Season one.
Okay.
No little Smurfs. Season two. Grandkid Smurfs.
Yeah.
Only Smurfette is the only female. Now, talking about anatomy...
And they were brought by the storks, though.
No. Yeah, no. That's not how... I've taken sex ed classes. That's not how it works.
But that's how it was in Smurfland.
The storks brought them. Yeah, sure. Here's the thing. You know, there was Brainy Smurf, and there was, like, Tough
Hefty,
Smurf.
Hefty, Grumpy.
Yeah, there was also PR Smurf, who's like, okay, here's how we're going to spin this crap. Storks... brought and they're never gonna buy this. Listen, Papa, what you did was wrong. Okay, we need to spend this. We need to get this out there before it turns on its head. Okay, Gargamel's gonna have a field day. This will ruin us. He's
running this show.
This will ruin us.
Gargamel is also a hero, a heroic character, it sounds like. He was trying to take the Smurfs from the evil Machiavellian papa.
Yeah, well, rescue Smurfette from a clearly domestic, hostile situation.
Yeah,
I think I'm just saying in a more open society, April O'Neil would end up with Gargamel and Shredder. You know, I mean that would be an open relationship that I think would work well.
Yeah, you could get behind.
Yeah, Gargamel would be her summer home.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I do have
where
to say.
Where are we going?
I don't know. The Smurfs, The Lost Village, answers that question in, like, I think a pretty reasonable way where, like, they introduce these female Smurfs. And it kind of, like, brings something that should have, I think, always been there. So, like, that's one development, like, in an animated series that I've actually kind of liked.
How did they get them?
They were on the other side of this wall, this magical wall or something.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. They just happened to bring these girls over to their country and, you know, enslave them in their village.
They got, like, lost long time ago.
Yeah. I've had that. I know what that's talking about. Anyway, John, I have a question.
Yeah.
Beetlejuice.
I did not really watch that cartoon.
I watched a little bit, enough to know that it had nothing to do with the movie. It was, like,
separate. Yeah.
And I think that's a good point when they try to cross a boundary. They make a movie into a cartoon series or a video game like Mario into a cartoon series. Like, sometimes they don't do it the right way because it doesn't translate well.
Yeah translations between mediums are kind of...
And they force it and they push it. Because Beetlejuice was the antagonist in the movie, and he was trying to marry this young
teenage girl. Yeah,
and like it was just kind of a weird thing. And the cartoon, and then, like, they're best friends.
Yeah, and like he's like she or he is kind of like their whichever sidekick.
Yeah, yeah. They just kind of go on a little journey.
Yeah,
like,
little adventures.
What the heck is going on?
Yeah,
it was weird. I don't so much care for that. Yeah, but that was one of those examples. Mario was the other one.
Yeah, that was one that was just like they tried to force a square peg into a round hole.
I have a weird place in my heart for it because it was so bad, it was good.
Yeah.
It was one of those things that I remember watching an episode in the live action. I almost like the live action portion more than the animated portion because of the stupid characters. And I remember Elvira, Mistress of the Night, was on. And it was just stupid. It was just stupid. Yeah, but good.
Yeah.
But that wasn't animated, so we were talking about animated stuff.
And, you know, it's really, I feel like animated series now, it's almost like a more respected form of art than they were when we were younger. Like when we were kids, animated series were kind of for kids.
Yeah.
And now you have like a lot of animated series that are for adults.
Yeah.
Like we talked about South Park in one episode. The Critic was a great adult-centered cartoon.
Swim.
Yeah. Rick and Morty is a great adult cartoon.
Haven't watched it.
Oh,
yeah. I hear good things.
You would love it.
Yeah, okay. BoJack Horseman. Netflix is doing all sorts of different cartoons. They have a
Big Mouth.
So they got a whole kind of series of that, and I think that kind of blurs the line a bit because I think we like those cartoons because it has evolved with our humor and our sentiments over the day. Like, we like those because we resonate with them.
Yeah.
And I think that when we watch a Paw Patrol kind of thing, and I haven't seen that, so I'm guessing here. But when you watch that, it doesn't
resonate. Oh, that's for babies.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't resonate with your current worldview.
Yeah, yeah.
Back in the day, all you cared about was cat butt liposuction. You're like, this is funny. Fart jokes.
And in my case, killing commies, I guess. Because G.I. Joe.
You're an old soul. Always wanting to kill the commies. But no, I think that we like those adult cartoons, the South Parks, the Family Guys and stuff. Because again, they strike a chord with what we currently care about. And at the time, we cared about eating cereal in our comfy chairs and watching stupid cartoons until our eyes went square.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's...
And you know, here's the thing, Josh. For those of you out there that are wondering what Josh and I will continue to be here for is, we'll fight for entertainment wherever there's boredom. Josh and John will be here. Pop culture problems. We're real pop culture heroes, pop culture problems. And you know that now. And knowing is half the battle.
John and Josh pop culture problems. John and Josh pop culture problems. Hosts in a podcast. Podcast power. We'll see you next time right here on Pop Culture Problems.
That was way better. You'll fight for freedom.
Start it over. Start it over. I already screwed it up. Start. Hold on. Start it over. Start it over.